Thank God for His holy written word. We're talking about a series on a transformed life. Change your thought, change your life. And we started a few teachings now on it, and we focused our minds on the Word of God concerning this area of transformation, which starts in the mind. And somebody said the devil, an idle mind is a devil's playground. That sounds pretty neat, but it's true. If you just don't do something with your mind, somebody's going to do something with it, and the devil makes sure that you won't be able to get God's thinking. And so many people have trouble. And so I just quickly alerted people today what we're teaching here on our Facebook page. If you're not a friend on Facebook with me, I want to get you to be my friend so that we can do something together online. So I don't ever talk about you, and I don't slam anybody down. I try to put something positive on my Facebook, because negativity doesn't get you anywhere unless you want to start a fight, and we don't want to start fighting. And so so I put out my message here today on my Facebook. If you want to do that, you can alert people today on your Facebook. I want you to help us out here at Faith City Church. Put it online. Don't be ashamed. You listen to Pastor Roma, and you come to Faith City Church. And tell people you come here. Amen? Tell people you're here, and you want them to come here. You want your family to come here. And don't be ashamed of it. You know, when I joined Alcoholics Anonymous, when I first got sober, I went to the Smith Clinic in the 70s. For you, that you weren't born in the 70s. That's a long time ago. Eons ago. And I went to the Smith Clinic, and they gave you like 2 weeks off, I think, during the month to get out on a weekend. I went out, and I went to the bar. They said, don't go to the bars. I went to the bar. But my mind wasn't changed then, so I just did what I used to do. And I wasn't a new creature then. And, new person because of my salvation experience. And then it takes a while to change. It takes a while to change your habits, and we want to change our lives. And so here's what I put on here. I want you to remind you here. Change your thinking, change your life. Many people struggle today with negative thoughts and therefore suffer defeat in various ages of whatever area of their life. It could be relationship. If you have negative relationship, you got to change your thinking about relationship and how it actually should happen. The way you think things should happen might always be the correct thing, because your mind isn't there yet. Your mind isn't challenged to think different. And if you can change your thought life, you can control your destiny. Your life is going to be different tomorrow if you change your thinking today. If you like the way you are, then I can't do anything for you. God's not going to do anything for you today. If you're comfortable with your area of your relationship, if you're comfortable with your spirituality, and then this, I guess, that won't apply to you, because you're okay there. You want to be there. And don't be fooled that the way you are right now is a result of somebody else, because you need to take control of your life today. And where you end up is going to be really up to you, if you look at it that way. You can find out some things today and how to get some tools in changing your life. I believe this is going to be a great time this morning to change your life. So let's go. I want to go to a few scriptures first, in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, and Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I want to give you a thought on that, and then we'll go and talk about a few more things just to introduce our topic again. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. I'm reading the King James Version on this here. It says, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." So I want to take that portion of that scripture. Then it says in there, "Eat and drink," he said to thee, "but his heart is not with you." In other words, somebody can say something out of their, say something just to appease you, but their mind is not really changed. Their mind is on something else. So you have to change your whole mentality. You know, if somebody could tell you something, you're sitting with you, they're talking with you. In this particular scripture, somebody's saying, you know, go ahead and eat, and eat, go ahead and whatever. And in their mind, they're saying, you know, how am I going to pay for this? What does this guy think I am? You know, you need to be generous. If you're going to be generous, let's be generous all the way. Amen? So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, the way you're thinking, you know, you become what your thoughts are. You know, we want to open up our minds today on the Word of God. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the people that are choosing to think differently. I pray in the name of Jesus with them. I'm believing with them. You said if two shall agree. And so we pray that we're going to change our mind on the way we do things. We want to change the results of what's happening around us, in us. So we thank you, Father, that this would be time for a change. And we thank you for that in advance. And we praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. So as he thinks in his heart, in other words, your thinking, you know, has to change. You know, we need to do that. So here's Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed, or be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we see here, God wants us to transform, or we want to renew our mind. We want to change. And so this gives us a thought. You know, years ago I heard about, when you talk about renewing your mind, you know, it's like renovating your house or renovating your whatever you got in your house. You know, I used to take apart different things and put it together. Sometimes I leave some parts out because I forgot to put it back in there. I don't know if anybody ever done that. Or you leave something in there. You're not supposed to leave it in there. And so what is that rattling in there? Well, you left something there. But, you know, if you, like we talked about this last time, you know, we renovated this building. We gutted the place in here. The roof and on top, you know, and the bottom and the floors and the walls, and took down walls and put new walls in. So we did that. And it looks new, feels better. And so we had to totally work hard. I see people sweating in here and changing. They were like here from day and night. It wasn't an easy walk. It took some challenges. It took some work. It took some blisters and people stretching and pushing. I saw people up there and they're doing different things. You know, Pastor Ken would stretch and pull his arms up there and his belly would fall down, and I thought, you know, you're stretching out, you're working out, right? You're stretching your bones and your legs and whatever. So people were working really hard. It took a whole pile of people to do that. It took some effort. And so with that in mind, if you're going to change your mind, you're going to change your thought life, it's going to take some challenge on your part. It's going to take some work on your part. It's not going to take one service. It's not going to take one time to listen to a series of messages for four or five times, and then you got it. And the thought about changing your mind or renewing your mind is like, here's a question for everyone. This is kind of a stupid question, but it's necessary for me to ask this question for for me to make this point. How many of you, raise your hands, how many of you you combed your hair this morning? That's a good number of you. If you didn't comb your hair, go out right now and comb your hair. So you have to take a brush and comb your hair. So, you know, if you said, you know, well, if God wants me to have nice hair, I'll just let him do it. No, I mean, you have to do something with your hair. You have to wash your hair and do something with it, cut it. And I was trying to get to my, my stylist yesterday. She said, we just had the last one. And then it seemed like I'm the last guy to try to get in there on a Saturday because I was doing other things. I have a different system of operating. So I started cutting my own hair. So anyway, that's why I like Pastor Ken. I said, use that. And you do the same thing, right? Yeah. Praise God. Some of you did, and Mike does the same thing. Just go, and they're done. They're done. You know. Yeah. I said, nice style. The Telly Savalas style. How many of you remember Telly Savalas? Yeah. You can tell how old you are now. Telly Savalas. How many know Pitbull? Anybody know Pitbull? He's got a dog. He's not a dog. No. But anyway, that's a singer. He has that kind of hair, I think. Is that an old artist or something? But anyway, so you have to do this every day. You got to remind yourself to do it every day. If you don't do the little things, nothing will happen. Nothing will change. So sometimes you take, in the morning with your coffee, you might have a little devotional. Maybe it takes a minute to read it. I got a 2 or 3 or 4 of them, little devotionals. I have them around so that I'll read different ones. And it'll help me with my thinking. It's good to get a nice little jolt of that. You know, it's like having coffee. Some people, I got to have a coffee break. And sometimes you have to have a scripture break and get away and read something. And then it'll jolt you up and, hey, my attitude's not right. So you have to change that. So here's the thinking here. Here's the thought on this. What you think, you are what you think. You become what you focus on, what you meditate on. You are what you think, and your mind is fed on what you meditate on regularly, what you think about. I remember hearing Joyce Meyer say, think about what you're thinking about. And if you want to change your mood, we have a little mood. I think your wife gave us a little mood light or something. And there's a light that changes, and goes on and on, and all different colors. When we were kids, you had a mood ring. I don't know if anybody had a mood ring. It was just wonderful. I'm feeling excited now. And so different things, it changes colors, right? And the thing about it, we need to have a mood change. And so what you're thinking about, what you're feeling right now really is determined by what you're focusing on this morning. If you're thinking about, oh man, I had a long night, and then you it'll actually just kick in. Your body will follow that. And somebody said, if you change your mind, your body will follow. I want to tell you something. If you ever worked out, if you go in the gym, or if you do anything really, I'm just using this workout thing because we do this once in a while. We work out, So you sometimes you don't want to do something, and I know that Olympic guys, they think about it. If you watch an Olympian before they go and do their whatever their routine. If it's whatever it is, if it's weightlifting or boxing or a hockey game. I watched a hockey game last night a little bit there. And then I see at the national anthem, they're not paying no attention to the national anthem. They're thinking about different things. In their mind, they're thinking about what they're going to do on the ice. They're focusing. And the same with the boxer. And they're thinking about it. I watch hockey players before a game. They'll go out before the crowd is there, before everybody's in there. They're looking at the rink and they're thinking in their mind what they're going to be doing. Anybody ever notice that? Yeah. And so they're meditating what they're going to be doing. And so with us, it's the same thing. When you start your day, it's important for you to start thinking about what you're going to be thinking about. And so it's important for us, if you're going to change your mind, we're going to have to do this. And so, as a man thinketh, so is he in his heart. So, you become what you think. The meditation of your thoughts form your belief system. What you often hear, eventually you'll embrace as truth. And when you think about something, you feel a certain way. And so we need to look at that. So here's what the Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, the Amplified Bible says about what God says to us. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, the Amplified. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God's telling us that his thinking is different than ours. He's got a higher way of thinking. And we have to understand what we think is not always aligned with God's word. You know, the way we look at things and the way we see things in life might not be godly. Might not be God's ways. So we looked at Psalm chapter 1 last time. Psalm chapter 1. Let's just go put that there for a second. Psalm chapter 1. I believe it's chapter 1. We'll read a few verses of scripture there and see something about our thought life and thinking. It said, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, enviable is a man that walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly. What's the counsel of the ungodly? People's thinking, their counsel about how you should be living, how you should be thinking. Ungodly simply means those people without God's ways, God's principles, God's word in their lives. They're not living by God's words, so they're trying to change the way you think to align with them. You know, sometimes, you know, when you get saved, you know, people kind of they look at you differently after you stop living like them, and you don't swear anymore. You don't do those, you know, whatever things you were doing before. They look at you like, what's wrong with you? You know, you used to be one of us. Are you better than us? What do you think you are? And so they get put off by it, and because you're not doing the same things anymore. You're not laughing at the same jokes. And so following the advice and their plans and purposes, this man is going to be blessed. This man is going to be somebody who's prosperous and enviable. It tells us right there that if we don't follow that way, we're going to have God's ways in our lives. He says, we'll stand submissive and inactive in the path where sinners walk, or sits down to relax and rest, or where the scornful and mockers gather. Next one. But his delight and the desire are in the law of the Lord, and in his law, his precepts and instructions, the teachings of God, he habitually meditates. Well, that's thinking. You have to start thinking about what God thinks. You know, ask yourself what you're doing right now. What does he think of it? The way you just acted, what does God think about that? What does he say? What's his advice on it? So it takes a while for us to do something, to make those changes. It's going to take some effort. And so he ponders and studies it day, night and day. That means you're going to do this on a regular basis. His thoughts are going to be yours until it becomes like so natural for you to start thinking this way. And so it tells you in there that, you know, you're going to be prosperous. Verse 3 says this. He shall be like a tree. This is what the result of the thinking. If you change your mind, think, this is what's going to happen. He shall be like a tree firmly planted and tendered by the streams of water and bring forth fruit in its season. In other words, there's no bad days. Even if bad days come, you're still going to flourish. If hot days come and scorching you, like bad, horrible times come, you're not going to give in. You're still going to be productive. The things that are going to happen in there, that's going to be great. You know, I like what Psalm 91 says about when you're older, you'll still be productive in old age. All of you old people I'm talking to right here. Robbie. I'm just kidding. No, Robbie's a young man. Look at him. He's been doing this day and night. And I like Robbie, you know, he used to call me more often than before, but now he's going to call me more now after this service. So he shall be like a leaf. I haven't heard about some of these guys for a while. But his leaf shall not fade or wither. Look at if there's any withered people around here. It shall not wither. You're not gonna die out, right? You'll not fade. You're not gonna fade. Everything he does shall prosper. You know, if we want success in life, we're gonna have to change our thinking. Prosperity means succeeding in life in every way possible. So it's our thinking that needs to change. If you're gonna hang around the same places, you know, you're gonna have to. If you hang around the world, you're going to start acting like the world, smelling like the world, doing what they do. And I want to go back to Romans for a second, to Romans chapter 2. It's saying the same thing that this guy says over here. And be not conformed to this world. You either going to conform to the world around you that are ungodly, that are without God, they don't have no care about what God thinks, or you're going to be renewed in the mind. Because in God's will, you're going to follow God's will, His ways, His purposes, by renewing your mind and what He's doing. So if you want that change in life that's going to be productive and right, you know, you'll start feeling better about things. You know, so sometimes correction doesn't feel good, but after you've done it, what a refreshing it is. So God tells us what to think about, how to think about things, and he gives us the particular way, you know, in which we should do things so that we can have this change in our lives. I want you to notice three things here about this here at the bottom here. I'm going ahead of myself because I want to give you four things, and we're going to close soon because we want to have some fellowship together today and get closer physically. No, look at this. You want to change your life. You want to change your thinking. You must take charge right now of your mind. And you must be responsible for your own mind. You know, so you have to understand that some people think, I can't change the way I think. No. They say things like, you know, I'm worried about different things. I have these things come into my thoughts. And they're getting defeated by it because they're getting defeated by it because they haven't changed their thinking. They haven't been doing what they're supposed to do. And I'm going to tell you something here why they're like that. Let me just continue here. So you must be responsible for your own mind. If you don't be responsible for it, somebody else will take your thoughts and control the way you think and tell you how to think. The world around you, it says, Romans 12, where we reminded, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. There are thoughts and ways that are around us all the time trying to get a hold of us and change us so that we'll begin to emulate or be like the world. And so we must be able to understand this. I'm going to show you some here. It says, you must want to change your thinking. You must want to change. If you're comfortable the way you are right now and you want to keep your hurts and you want to keep your pain, you want to keep you want to change your weight, but you don't want to change your thinking. It's going to take work. If you you're depressed, not because of some, you know, mental, emotional, something happened to your brain or something, it's because the way you're thinking. I feel blue every Monday. Blue Mondays is coming tomorrow. You say, well, you start thinking, you know what? Hey, I get to go to work tomorrow. I'm healthy, thank God. I can even quit this job and get another one if I want to. You can do whatever you want to think in a positive way. And so you must want to change. You must be really tired of the negativity. You must believe you can change your mind. You must believe it that you can change your mind. If I can change my mind, I can change my thinking. And you must see God makes that available to you. He makes that available. Number one, from Romans 12:2, God commands us not to think like the world. He says, "Not be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." He's talking right there about us not thinking like the world thinks. Because thinking the way the world thinks that are ungodly or without God or without his principles, you know, it'll drag you back into something that you maybe take you to a place where you don't want to be. So it's only when we transform our mind and stop thinking like the world that we find God's will. Challenge your thinking about different things. Challenge your mind and say, you know, is this God's way of thinking? You know, why am I feeling this, feeling like that about somebody or a group of people or whatever it is? What does God want me to think? You know, you read about political commentary and different kind of things that people write about in the news, and all of a sudden you're angry at Trudeau. Because, you know, he's the trouble of everything. He's the trouble boy. My wall is like this. My car, and then when I'm driving this, I'm down the road, that's his fault. So we start blaming him. He's a cute little guy. He's good. I mean, all the girls love him. Some of us are jealous. But, you know, I mean, we get mad, you know, at different things like that. We blame everything on somebody else. But what about you? I was at a public meeting the other day from our reserve. You know, they put on some meeting, and some of the guys started attacking the people who's putting on the meeting, just trying to help the child welfare system change. So they started attacking those people on the front, on our, some of our leaders were presenting this meeting. I said, hey, wait a minute, you guys. These guys are that's what they're here for. Don't attack these guys. They're the messengers. They wanna change. That's why they're here. That's why they bought you a meal. Eat your meal and let's be friendly. And I said, so, by the way, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to change? Instead of complaining. And so, God tells us to renew our minds. God tells us we can take control of our minds. And God wants us to understand a controlled mind will control the body. Control the mind, the body will follow. That's talking about your desires, your appetites, and where you hang around, what you do. So when you start changing your mind, you start thinking, hey, God doesn't want me to do this. You know, we all change our mind. One day, every Friday night or every Wednesday, we went for a number of years. We all went to the chicken house, and we ate chicken. Just have a great party. After a while, everybody started getting fat. And we were wondering why, you know, what's going on. And so they said, man, my clothes, your clothes is getting, you know. I told my wife this morning, I said, you know, this shirt is shrunk. But it was, you know, I was me, eh? I'm eating there, eating at night, you know, watching TV, you know. Every time somebody else scores, I start eating again. And, you know, this is getting exciting. Honey, where's the chips? Bring some more chips over here. And so we had to stop. We had to change about the chicken house business. We started changing, you know. We started buying it after. Taking it home instead. Controlling how much we eat. But, you know, we had to change that. But, you know, God commands us not to think like the world. Because if we start thinking right in our minds, our bodies will follow. That means our appetites will follow. Our desires will follow. When you do worldly things, your flesh will want to do those things. It will want to drink, want to do those things you used to do. You know, if you don't take care of that, you'll still act like the way you used to be before. Anybody knows this, if you're saved, you can look exactly like the world. You do exactly what the world did. And God doesn't want you to do that. That's why he puts so much emphasis in the New Testament to change your thinking. So that you won't lash out and have road rage and get mad at the cashier because whatever it is, you know. Okay, I'll go on to the next point here. Number two, God says to take control of your mind. Not just to change your mind, but he said take control of your mind. And 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 to 6, Paul tells the Corinthians, casting down imaginations. What's the imaginations? It's your thinking. Casting down imaginations. In other words, he didn't say pray to God to do it. He didn't say to tell the Holy Spirit to do it. He didn't say tell the pastor to do it. He didn't say go and ask the prayer group to do it. No, he says you cast on the imagination. You take a hold of it. If God tells you to cast on imaginations, whatever's in there, it means that you have control of your thinking. You have control of your mind. If thoughts come of failure and death in there, you just say, no, I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking life. I'm going to take control of this. I'm taking control of my life. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. In other words, anything that comes contrary to God's will and His plan and His purposes, we have to take that out of there and bring into captivity every thought. Notice this. Bringing into captivity every thought. In other words, you can control the way you think. You've got to want to do it. You have to understand you can control it. It might not be that easy at first, but you can do it. Is that okay? Okay, so God tells us to control our minds and replace it with His thinking. You can't just take it out and think blank. You have to put something in there. You say, no, here's what I think. The devil says, I'm going to kill you. You're going to die of the sickness and disease. You'll never get better. You're going to be on medication for the rest of your life. You say, you know, hey, what? Hey, here's what I believe. I believe that 1 Peter 2:24 working in me right now. I see myself well. God says I'm healed. Therefore, I'm healed right now. I know I have symptoms. I know I'm taking medication. But thank God, He says I'm healed. That's what you got to do. You got to talk back to it. Talk back to the symptoms. Talk back to your body. Tell the devil what you think. What you're thinking sometimes is you think this is my thinking. No, not every thought that comes to your mind is your thinking. It's your mind. You're being attacked in your mind, and the devil wants to attack you. He's relentless. He sends his whatever over there, his imps over there. He'll send people and tell you stuff. You'll never get out of this. This I know you had this one time, but this is a worse one. This is a worse sickness than last time. I know you got out of it that time, and the doctor said you're going to be okay. But this one won't happen this time. I know you went into debt before, but this time you're not going to come out of debt. Quiet in here. Watch this. Number three. God tells us how to and what to think. He asks us to think peaceful thoughts. Wholesome thoughts, helpful thoughts, thoughts of good success, thoughts that will brighten up your day, brighten up your life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 48, and he says this, and the peace of God. Everybody wants peace in their life, but they're not willing to change their thinking. Everybody wants peace. Like it says here in verse 4, but they don't want to do the previous verses or the ones before that. The peace of God, which passes on, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind. Passes all understanding. The peace of God, the peace that you have, is going to be beyond what you're thinking. You say, you know what? I don't know why I should be really afraid right now in my mind, but I feel okay on the inside of me. The thoughts that are coming to me is telling me there's going to be destruction, but on the inside of me, I know I'm going to be okay. Amen. That's the kind of peace God says to arm yourself with. He says over here, again, which passes all understanding, this peace will keep your hearts and minds. Your heart and mind. He makes a distinction. The Bible determines the soul and the spirit. The two different things. If you can control the soul, you can control the destiny, what your spirit's going to do. And finally, he says, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good of good report. If you're not reading good report, if you're not seeing good report, then you need to change your mind. And he says, therefore, if there's any virtue, if there's been any praise, think on these things. That's what I said when I came in here. I thought about, every time I came to church, I always thought about where I came from. And then where I am right now. and how I got out of that place and how God helped me out and how I feel today. I'm not worried that when I go down Cumberland Street or downtown that I'm going to run into a dealer or somebody else is looking for me right now. Or somebody that we beat up last week, he's going to get over and find me and they're going to beat me up. I'm not thinking like that way. I don't have that feeling anymore. I'm not ashamed of what I did last week's party, what I said to so-and-so. I'm not ashamed of those things anymore. I'm not ashamed of where that I went to jail last week. Like, you know, I don't have those anymore. I used to struggle with anxiety, terrible anxiety. I would sit in the room, anywhere I'm at, and my palms would be sweating. My heart would be racing. I'd feel like passing out and hyperventilating. I'd have to run out to the bathroom four or five times. And every time I went to any place, in any house, I would have to try to find out where the washrooms are so I could get escape. And I couldn't get on the bus and get on the bus in the city. And I would be ready to ring the bell because I wanted to jump off that place because I was having an anxiety attack. Well, I don't have those anymore. I used to wake up with cold sweats at night. I used to wake up at night for years, not just a few days, not just a few months. I'm talking about years and years, how I was damaged as a kid. What happened to me as a kid, the atrocities I saw as a kid and the stuff that happened to me and the loneliness and all the stuff that I was being left alone as a kid and all the fights I saw and all the blood and all the police and all the ambulances, all that was all in my mind constantly. Wake up with every time I'd be walking down Cumberland Street or driving somewhere and all of a sudden the sirens come and I would panic right away because that would take me back to the scene of seeing my mother dead on the street. And so these things was affecting me on and on and on and on. You don't know where I came from. And you have no reason to criticize this man because you don't know where I went, how far I came. And people say different things, you know, oh, he's crazy now, look at him. And no, listen to me. I'm grateful to God. I'm doing this because I love God. I could have had another job myself. I could have worked another job. I didn't have to be here. I didn't have to be. My wife didn't have to give our lives for 30 years to do what we're doing. We did it because we said God was in it. God wanted us to do this thing. So I had to make a choice to do it whether you came or not. Whether you came to Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, I was here whether or not. I gave my money here. The checks I gave it back to the church year after year and give back the money that they gave me and got another job and paid for somebody else's stuff. I did it because I wanted to do it. I changed my mind on stuff. I didn't just buy my own stuff. I bought somebody else's stuff. Why did I do that? Because I changed my mind on different things. I'm a useful member of the society today. No one's looking for me. The cops never came to my house for a long time looking for me. When I used to be afraid when I was in a university and sitting in a classroom, if I saw a cop, I would get scared right away because I think they're looking for me. When I was working at one of my placements and as a college student, when I started graduating, I went to university, upgrading, and went to school there. I'll work with the native people. I went to the Friendship Center. So I went to the Friendship Center to work with the First Nations people, and I felt comfortable. I only went there because I was comfortable. I wasn't comfortable with working in a white organization because that wasn't me. I couldn't hack it. So, I just said, well, my own people will work, you know, they'll have a different expectation of me. So I went there. So one day a police officer came in and he came to the receptionist and asking for, you know, one of my brother. They said, oh, you know, his brother is here. And so go get him. So they came and got me. So, hey, yeah, you know, hey, Roma, this is Roma Fisher. Yeah, we're looking for your brother. He's like, well, no, he's not here. He's out of town and so on and so on. He says, and so he went to his car, come back. He comes back to me. We have a warrant for your arrest. I said, what? What do you mean? He says, we got several drunk charges for you. I said, I don't drink. I haven't been drinking for a long time. He said, they took me to jail. They put me in the jail cell over here. I'm there saying, look at, you know. And then I start thinking about it. Like, why am I? Look at me. I'm trying to do something. I'm trying to change. Now they put me back in jail for nothing. I wanted to kill my brother. Because he took my ID, my identity, he stole my identity, and he started using, he ran out of his times, right? He started using my identity. Now I'm in trouble because he used my ID. I mean, you know, you wonder why I ran away from my family. So that's what happened to me. So God tells you how to think and what to think about. It's so easy to change. You can start thinking positive right now. But do you want to? How much do you want to do it? We say, oh, I can't help it. No, you can help it. You just don't want to. You haven't trained yourself enough to renew your mind. Number four, the last piece here I want to give you. God shows us changing your mind, God shows us that changing your thinking will change your life and change your destiny, for sure. He changed you from a negative to a positive. Your life can be different right now. Your life can be changed. You say, well, my life is good right now, but it can be better than it is right now. You say, well, I'm okay. No, you can be much more than okay. You can change your life. Not be afraid. I used to be afraid of dying. I'm not afraid of dying today. My mom used to say that to me all the time. I'm not afraid to die. Literally, Billy Graham, we're watching a thing at Bible school the other day. Billy Graham says, I'm looking forward to dying. He's 99 years old. Billy, look up here, Billy. Billy, he said, I'm looking forward to dying. I mean, if he could move around, he probably said, I'm going to live for a while. But he's 99 years old. But I'm sure he's looking forward to dying. He said, hey, all of us, we don't have to be afraid of dying. Most people here are afraid because you're afraid of death. You're afraid of dying. But if you change your mind on it, say, hey, it's going to be far better. Like the Bible says in Philippians, it's far better to die than to live here. But it's better for other people that you're here. Like the Ford company that you owe the money. You need to pay your bills. Amen? Give me a couple more seconds here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, 24. I'm reading the Amplified Bible. This is our last scripture for the night. If you're catching the bus or something. How many people know you can change your life? I heard 7 people at least. We're better. We're better than before. How many people think it's better to change? Yes? Amen? You can help me out a little bit just because it's almost 12 o'clock. Indian time. Let me talk about Indian time for a second before I say this. Indian time is like, you come when you want to. Come when you feel like it. That's Indian time, we're going to start at 7. People walking at 10 after 8. Hey, we've been here for an hour and 10 minutes. You're just walking in. Yeah, but no more Indian time. Look at your neighbor and say, no more Indian time. Okay, so look at this. Now, this is Indian time because we're staying longer than we have to. That's also Indian time. Indian time is like, we're going to take an extra hour here. We're going to just study the scriptures a little bit longer, right? One time I went to a native service, Max Capcomedian was singing. I learned my lesson. That's like 35 years ago Max was singing. He's still singing the same songs, and they're longer usually now. So I went into a service. So we went to a native service. My friend brought me from, he's from over here from one of the other Rocky Bay Reserve. We had a service up here. Mac was singing, all these guys. We went in there. And we went there 6 o'clock. And people coming in late. We got out there 11 o'clock at night. And at that time, I didn't know it's okay. You walk out and leave. I thought you got to sit there. I was thirsty. If I had a chance, I'd pee on the floor if I had a chance to. But we're talking about. Native time now at the end of the service. Okay, give me that much for now. I'm going to read another scripture. Are you doing okay? Well, I'm glad you're laughing still. We're going to have a coffee here in a minute. I want you to buy me a coffee, okay? Okay, so Ephesians 4, 23, 24, Amplified Classical Edition. Okay. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new nature, that regenerate self, created in God's image, godlike, true in righteousness and holiness. And so God wants us to change our thinking the way we're supposed to be acting. Now that we're new creation, God gives us a set of things that we could actually do as new people. I want you to understand, like in this church, if you belong to the church, that the devil, you can change your situations. You can change your circumstances that are against you. It might take some time. It might even take a few months. But you can change. Like, you know, if there's negative things happening in your life right now, you can change. You don't just let circumstances beat you up. You see, people say, oh, you know, it's circumstances in my life. That's why I'm like that right now. I'm suffering, you know. Excuse me, I got to go to the bathroom here. You know, no, you can change your life. You can say, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming against those spirits that's causing these situations in my life. I command you right now to let go in the name of Jesus. And then you clear those devils out. I'm going to lose it too pretty soon. Why don't we just stand up? This is getting far beyond. Hallelujah. Is there any singers in the house? Any musicians want it right now? Let's get somebody. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you ready? Are you ready to strike a tune? Kendra. Hallelujah. This is just Mr. Kendra. You know who the real boss is? She is. He just follows. That's what we say about our wives. Our wives said, we might, they control everything. Might be the hip, but she's the neck. Yeah, she's the neck. No, we got good necks. Praise God. Thank God for that. This is all we have today, helping us out. I want you to sing. Can you sing a song? Not right now? Okay. Maybe you should back her up, no? What would be fitting here? What kind of song would you like? Let's ask them if they want what the song they want to sing. That wouldn't be good, eh? Praise the Lord. Are you appreciative of God's word? Do you feel better now? Have you been challenged enough? At least tell you get out the door. You get out the door, get in the car. Man, that was a good service. What did he say? Well, I don't know. You know what the scripture was? I don't recall, man. I was just zoned out in the spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't God wonderful? He's great. He's greater than wonderful, right? Let's all lift our hands together. Thank God. If you're grateful, say, God, I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate the word today that was given. I want to thank God for the word of God that changes my life. I'm leaving here different today. I'm going to feel different today. I'm not going to be the same. Oh, we love you. Just go ahead and love on him. God says, show me your affection. Oh, hallelujah. Give him your emotion. Give him some emotion. Oh, God, we love you. We appreciate you. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. We worship you. We give you our bodies, a living sacrifice. We give you our minds to change, to think like you, to feel like you. I want to feel the way you feel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You can put your hands down, close your eyes. I want to tell you something here. The Lord began to talk to me about something today. There's Christians that are suffering right now, that are dying right now. Little children are being dying. 10-year-old children, 8-year-old little girls are being used for prostitution in countries that Christians, they're being taken away. I want us to pray for those people. And we're not going to just pray for them. We're going to help them. We're going to help them, those people. Little children, little boys and girls. They're killing their fathers and raping their parents in these countries. So we're going to do something about it. We're not going to just sit idle and say, oh, poor people. No, we're going to do something. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we stand with these people, these Christian people that are suffering all over the world right now. They're being martyred. They're being defeated by the enemy, decimated. And they don't know how to help themselves because they don't know the word. And some of the people there don't know enough word to protect themselves. And so, Father, We cover them with the blood of Jesus. And we ask, Father, that intervention shall be done. We're going to do something. We're not going to sit idle by right now. We're going to do something. So we thank you in the name of Jesus. So we vow to help and serve you, to help with these little children, little boys and girls that have been taken away, being killed, being crucified. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if you're here in this room right now, you're not born again. Maybe you were born again, but you walked away from God. You need to come back to God. Today is a day that's been afforded to you by God to come back to Him. You can just sit there and say, yeah, God, I come back to you. You need to do this publicly. You need to stand out and say, yeah, I want to come to God right now. This is my chance. This is my chance to make a turn. I'm changing my mind. I'm going to change the way I live. Is there somebody like that right now? I want to see your hand right up high. Say, Pastor, I want to change. I want to change my life right now. I want to come back to God. I want to follow Him. I want to serve Him. Is there anybody right there right now? Say, lift your hand way up high. Say, I want to change. I want to change my life. Thank you, Lord. Is that you, sir? Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm going to change my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Lift your hand up high. I want you to wave it to me. Say, I want to change. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? You say, I'm going to change my mind. I'm tired the way I'm living. I'm tired the way I'm feeling. I want to change. Is there somebody here? If that's you, I want you to come here unashamedly, unabashedly, without any cowardice. You just come right now with me. Say, Pastor, I'm coming. Come on, sir. Come on. I'm going to pray with you. Come on. Yeah, come on. Anybody with me? Come on. Is there somebody else to say, I want to do it. I want to change my life. I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian. I was a Christian. But I'm not living right. I need to change my life. Any man, woman, and child right now. Thank you, Lord. You've been born again before? I said, but you're going to make a change right now. Let's do it. Come on, a couple of men. I want you to stand with this man. Thank you, Jesus. How about if anybody else says, I need to change my life? I need to do something about my life, my situation right now. I'm tired of it. I want to change my life, not only to come to Jesus, but I want to change something in my life right now. You get up here right now. If you want to change something in your life, come on, right now. I want to change. I'm going to change my habits. I want to change my thinking. I want to change the way I feel. I'm making a commitment right now. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? That I'm going to change my way. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray with this man. Everybody, we're going to pray with this man right now. What is your name, sir?
Jared?
Jared. How long have you been saved? Many years? That's a kid? Two, 3 years. But you kind of fell away. Who brought you today? Yourself?
Yeah.
How did you know we were here?
Okay.
They're good people. Father, I'm going to pray with Jared right now. He's making a decision to follow you undoubtedly without any reservation, without a shadow of a doubt. Jared said, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm repenting of my ways. Today will mark a significant day of real change in me. I'm going to go beyond my average activity. I'm going to go all out. I'm going to change my life. I don't want to end up in negativity street. I want to change my life for the destiny you have planned for me. Thank you, Lord God. Forgive me of my old ways. Thank you so much for washing me clean. I am now yours. I'm dedicated to you to serve your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Jared, how long are you going to be in town?
I'll be here for a while.
I want you to hook up with this pastor here. He's a youth pastor. He's got a conference coming up. He's going to have something for you to do. Okay? Let's give him a hand, everybody. You want to change your life, spiritual? Physical. Something in your life you want to change today, right?
Yeah.
Where do you live?
Fort William.
Fort William?
Yeah.
I want you to move to Port Arthur right today. I'm serious. I'm just kidding, buddy. You don't understand that, right?
Yeah.
But you know what? You're going to have to make some changes. Mm-hmm. See this pastor right here? He's gonna help you get into some work here in the city,
yeah.
Right in this church. So we're gonna put you to work right away, and he's gonna mentor you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this man. He's been coming faithfully, regularly. I know he's made a definite change in his life. He's not doing drugs anymore. He's not hanging on the street anymore. And I pray everyone, every drug dealer, and every person that uses any substances of any kind will be cut off right now. Every situation, everybody that's come to you, who's encouraged you or seduced you to use, will be broken right now. Those lines are broken right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray the angels of God to surround you and bring you to church, bring you to Bible studies, and for the work of God. And you're going to be changed into another man. The Spirit of God is going to come upon you in a strong way from this day forward. And there'll be a marked difference in you. People around you are going to say, what happened to that guy? You say, he lost his mind. He did. He lost his mind. He's got a brand new mind in the Lord. Thank God. Say, thank God I'm changed.
Thank God I'm changed.
Pastor Ken, you're going to help him out. My friend, you stick with me.
You got that right, Roma.
Praise God.
Yeah, man.
Father, I pray for my friend here. What's your name again?
Edward. Victor used to ask you. I changed my middle name.
Your name is Victory.
Yeah.
Edward Victory Statue. Father, in the name of Jesus. He's not going to stand around like a statue anymore. He's going to do different things. In the name of Jesus.
We're going to do it, bro.
We're going to do it together. Father, in Jesus' name. So Pastor Ken's going to put you to work too. Okay?
Good, man.
Different things. So thank God for that. I appreciate you, brother. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, this woman of God is a handmaiden of the Lord. This woman's going to prophesy and go places. So I want to thank you in the name of Jesus. The anointing of God is upon her right now to change her life and destiny. She'll not be the same anymore. You're going to be bold now. You're going to say things. You're not going to be mean about it, but you're going to say things that are going to be a blessing to people. In Jesus' name. I heard the Lord say you need to give something. And that's going to happen starting today.
Amen.
By the way, I need $5. Okay, go. My wife's going to talk to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody lift that hand one more time and thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, I'm changed. I'll never be the same again. Praise God. Bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon.